Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
I have a feeling it's going to be beautiful. Everything's
going to be your. Hello and welcome to Tawonga Institute's continuing conversation about preparing for a safe and successful summer camp season, sponsored by the Foundation for Jewish Camp, where Jewish summers make a Jewish future. My name is Steve Gershick, and in studio today is Ken Kramars, longtime executive director of Camp Tawonga, based in San Francisco and operating in Yosemite National Park, along with Robin Parvin, emergency preparedness liaison for the Sausalito Sustainability Commission right here in the Bay Area. Our conversation today is why you should meet with your emergency responders before there's an incident at camp. And Ken's had a lot of experience with this, Robin, in his 35 years as a director at Camp Tawonga.
Ken, I'm looking at this picture. You're standing here in this bright yellow fire protective outfit with some other people in bright yellow, and there's some turquoise porta-potties in the back. There's a lot of people. It looks like the head of the National Forest. You're laughing. There's something fun's happening, right? What's happening?
You know, it's kind of crazy because that picture was taken in the middle of the Rim Forest Fire, which was the largest, most devastating fire in Yosemite history back in 2013.
Wow, you must have felt a lot of confidence to be laughing while all that's going on around you.
Well, true story, 1 month earlier, they were at Camp Tawonga having tri-tip.
So you're on like name, first name basis, wave at each other.
That's right.
That's right.
I know, it makes a huge difference.
Ken, is there something special about Tawonga's location that led to convening these annual lunches?
Camp Tawonga is located inside a national forest. It's a really unusual situation because we're private property run by a nonprofit organization, but we're inside a bigger federal property. And when we had some issues with the government, my first thought was to pick a fight with these guys, to be honest with you. I used to be a lawyer before I was a camp director.
That does sound lawyer-like.
Yeah, you're right. So I went to my own congresswoman, Barbara Boxer, who you now know as Senator Barbara Boxer. At the time, she was our representative in Congress.
Her name is familiar.
Yes. And I laid out the situation for her, and I thought we were going to be able to take these guys on. And she said something very surprising. She said, that's not the way you do it, Ken. You bring them together. You gather the neighbors. You invite the Forest Service and the sheriff and the park rangers and everybody who is around you, and you work out this problem together, collaboratively.
Oh, I love this.
And this was a new thought for me, like collaboration. I thought I was supposed to clobber them. So we convened our very first meeting, and it was really a remarkable experience.
So what did you do? How did that work?
We decided that the best thing was for Tawonga to be the convener. And so we started a practice of annually, at the start of each season, inviting the sheriff, the fish and wildlife people, the park rangers, the emergency responders, and all of our neighboring camps to camp for the best lunch we could possibly produce.
Oh, what did you serve?
Tri-tip.
Oh my gosh. They wanted to come back, I'm sure.
Yes, they did. And you know, back in the day, where my parents grew up in Brooklyn, New York, it was the practice for when the beat cop came by, he got an apple off the push cart. So this is like sort of like the apple off the push cart, but way bigger and way better.
That's a good idea.
It's a great idea. We have a whole series of expectations from a program like this, and we set them forth in the process that you and I know is OMING.
So what was it like working with Barbara Boxer?
It was awesome. She's a really nice Jewish girl from Brooklyn, New York, who moved out to California, just like my mother. May she rest in peace. It reminds me of another Brooklyn story, can I tell you?
Yes, tell me the story.
This goes back to 1941, and I think I'll show you like how I got into this emergency preparedness business in the first place. London was being bombed by the Germans, and in New York, they created a system of local neighborhood air raid wardens. And my grandmother, Oliva Shalom, was one of those wardens. So I want you to picture a little European immigrant woman, barely spoke English, about 5 feet tall, with a yellow hat, going up and down the streets of Bensonhurst saying,
And Mrs. Molinari, could you please be to turn out the lights because tonight's be the blackout. And this was my grandmother.
She's adorable.
Adorable. And back in 41, there was a parade in Manhattan of all the volunteer people, part of the war effort, and they headed out for Manhattan. So my grandmother, Mary Pruzanski, was riding in the subway to Manhattan with her 16-year-old daughter, Leona, and she started chatting with a woman sitting across from her, Edith Kramars. Those days, people still talk to each other on the New York subways. And Edith says, you know, I have a younger brother at home who's single.
Cupid.
Yes. And that led to a teenage blind date, and they became my parents. And that's why I'm so committed to emergency preparedness and civilian defense. How about that?
It's very romantic, too.
True story. True story.
So this sounds great. You guys know your stuff, but break it down for me, right? I got to know exactly what to do. I've never done this before. If this is my first time planning an event, take me through it step by step. Now, you said OM.
Yes.
I'm from Marin County, California, so that has a completely different meaning for me. I'm assuming you don't mean transcendental meditation, that OM actually means something in a programmatic sense.
You're right, Steve. You're right. OM is
Thank
the,
God.
Yes. OM is the principal tool that we use at Camp Tawanga to really clarify our intentions, or as in Hebrew we say, our kavanah, what we're trying to accomplish in any program, in any communication, in a meeting, in a workshop, even in a podcast like this.
So OM means what?
OM is a reminder that the O comes before the M. That is to say, the outcomes come before methods. You know, as programmers, we always learn new fun shticks, and we're always in a hurry to put them in action. But what we use this OM tool for is to remind us, let's really get clear on what we're trying to accomplish here.
Let me just interrupt you for a second, because what my definition of outcomes and methods are might not be yours. What do you actually mean when you say outcomes? What do you mean when you say methods?
This would actually be a good time to let people listening to this know that they can pull up a OM format sheet, which has your outcomes on one side and your methods on one side. And when you discuss all of this, you can actually write them down and have something that you carry around with you.
So define the terms, just as you think about outcomes and methods.
Well, the outcomes is the real world changes that are going to happen as a result of your participants coming to your event or having the experience that you're designing. We break it down into three parts. What are they going to feel? What are they going to know? What are they going to be able to do?
This is like a whole person yoga.
Sure. I like to sit in lotus position when I'm oming.
So we're oming and we're yoga-ing. But this is really important programmatic stuff, right? Because I know Tawanga uses OM at the center of every significant decision that they make. So you come up with what you want them to feel, what you want them to know, and what you want them to do as a result.
Precisely.
Of whatever it is that you're undertaking. And then, so once you have that, then
you have to make sure that those outcomes are clear and agreed to by everybody who's participating in producing the event. And typically at camps, things are all sort of group processed. So everybody around the table has to agree that, yes, these are the outcomes. And once those outcomes are agreed upon, your success rate goes way up. What I would do is, Robin, if you're standing there next to the swipe board,
yes,
then just start out and put a delta sign on the word feelings.
Okay. I didn't know there would be Greek in this lesson.
Yeah. Well, we got OMI, we got some Greek.
It's all Greek to me. Okay, so there's a delta up on the whiteboard. Robin has great handwriting.
And under the delta, we're asking ourselves, between the time they arrive at camp and the time they leave, what is the shift in feelings that we're going to create?
That makes sense to me now.
Yeah. So number one shift, gratitude. Just want to feel ordinary gratitude that they were invited to this nice place and these nice people are giving them a nice lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing we want them to feel is, these are nice people. I think I'd like to save them if anything ever happened.
I'm so glad I met them.
They're so glad they met them. And I got to say, you know, for some of these folks, be honest with you, maybe the first time they ever met anybody who was Jewish. And, you know, there could be preconceived notions or whatever. And
right.
So all those are going to get dispelled when they meet you. Third thing is, we want them to feel motivated to give you inside information. like their cell phone numbers or any other sort of backdoor access information that the general public wouldn't have.
Okay, so I'm writing this all down on the O section of this. Okay, I got it.
So you want them to feel trusting of you.
Yeah, that's the final feeling you want them to have, is trust and comfort that should a incident arise at Camp Tawanga and they come here, they're going to work with professional people and it's going to go well.
And they want to come back.
And they want to come back. Hopefully not for an incident.
Okay, so then I have the O written down for the feelings. And then what do I do next?
Well, next we're going to ask, what do we want them to know as a result of coming to lunch?
Okay.
And this is the same question we're going to ask for any program. But in this case, it's really simple. We want them to know the senior staff members who they're going to encounter should they ever have to come in response to an incident.
Okay, so you have your senior staff members there.
Yes. Second thing we want them to know is the basic layout of camp. What are the access points? What are any special risks and special exposures that need to be mitigated?
So is there a bit of a tour when people arrive?
That precisely.
Makes sense. Okay.
A bit of tour of camp. Make sure you point out your evacuation site, how you're going to leave camp, where people enter camp, and so forth.
That sounds great.
And finally, we want them to know any special concerns that you have. In addition, it could be, you know, incidents that have occurred in the past.
Oh, okay.
Because they're new to the district. And one of the reasons why we say you have to have a lunch like this every single year is that, you know, staff change. Sheriffs change.
No, that of course.
Park service officers change, right. And even if they're still in the service, they may be deployed elsewhere. So you want to do this every year and meet the new people.
This is great. It means you have a party every year.
Yes.
I like that part.
Yes.
So we have what we want people to feel, and you want have what they want to know. And what do we do for what do you want them to be able to do?
It was real simple. We want them to be able to reach us in case of an emergency.
Of course.
If they know something's on the way, whether it's a fire or a weather condition or anything else, that they can reach us easily and warn us of it. And the second thing we want them to be able to do is tell other people that these are really nice, cool people at Camp Tawanga, because, you know, you're out there in the wilderness, out there in the sticks. You want a reputation that they're going to help pass forward.
It sounds like you're sharing every way of communicating with you, all of the cell phones and landlines and whatever it is.
100%.
So you're making their jobs easier, and you're demonstrating that you know that their job's hard and that you're going to do whatever it takes to make their job not as hard.
Absolutely, and that we really appreciate their service.
Okay, so we have this up, and we have, those are our O's. Do we talk about the methods now?
Well, we have to make sure everybody around the table agrees. So if we're doing this together, I'd ask you, Steve and Robin, what do you think? Have we thought of everything? Are we missing anything?
I feel like there must be something we're missing, but I always feel like there's something missing.
That would just be Steve.
That's just me. But this is a good start. We can go back and add things, right?
Absolutely.
Good.
You can't take things away. Once you agree on an outcome, you have to hit that outcome.
But if we forgot something, then it's not written in stone. We can always add those.
It's a Google Doc. It's not even written at all.
It's a Google. It just lives in the cloud.
So we have our outcomes now. And now do we work on methods? We've all agreed.
Right. Now we can work on the details of the methods.
Let me encourage you to be pedantic for a moment, Ken. Yeah. What are methods in this model? How do they relate to outcomes?
Sure. Well, the first thing you want to do is have your data in order. So you're going to create a spreadsheet or a Google sheet that lists the name, the agency, the phone number, and the email of each person you're inviting.
And nicknames?
Nicknames is a great idea.
Yeah, I think that's important.
This is going to become your invitation list, but it's also your permanent record of all this sort of backdoor access information. What I'd recommend is, after the incident is over, you print this out, laminate it, and post it next to every emergency phone in camp.
Oh, yeah.
In addition, and we're going to cover this in a later podcast, at your incident command post, you're going to have a special phone. It's called a landline, line-powered phone.
Old school.
Old school. Old school is like a princess phone. It's powered by the pair of copper wires that comes into camp, and it's outside your regular computer-driven telephone system.
And so why is it important to have a landline phone? We all carry mobile phones with us everywhere, and some of us carry radios, walkie-talkies. Why a landline phone?
Sure. Well, in large-scale incidents, two things are very common. Number one, traditional cell phone networks get overloaded and you can't get a call out. And the other thing that happens in large-scale incidents is you frequently have a power failure. This is going to accompany lightning storms, earthquakes like we have out here in the Bay Area, other large-scale incidents. And even when the power goes out and even when the cell service goes out, your old-school landline line-powered phone will still function.
No voiceover internet.
No voiceover internet, although we also recommend you do have voiceover internet. So at each command station for us, we're also going to have a Skype headset and a satellite telephone. Redundancy is a really important tool in emergency preparedness, and yeah, it's sort of like a belt and suspenders philosophy.
So you're covering all your bases.
And your tuchus. We call that CYT, cover your tuchus.
Perfect.
So we have our list. So Robin is now writing the word methods on our vast studio whiteboard.
So you've made your list. Second thing is you want to have a staff member who owns the event. There's a lot of moving parts here. You're going to have to work with your food service people, with your buildings and grounds people, security people if you have them, program staff, because they're going to be coming to camp very likely in the middle of staff training or possibly even during one of your sessions when kids are in camp. So you want to make sure that all your key leadership has blocked out the time. They can join you for lunch. And also you want to inform the rest of your line staff to expect to see 10 or 20 police cars in camp, because if you don't, they may misunderstand what happened, and that's when you see a lot of staff members running to put stuff in the trunks of their cars.
This is important.
It's a joint operation in a different sense.
So methods are how you're going to do the event. Is that the way it happens?
That's right. So let's go to the day of. On the day of, there's a reminder to everybody that we're expecting a lot of special guests and that the general tone should be a welcoming tone. If you have a gate, someone should be posted at the gate. If there are special parking considerations, you have somebody available for parking. And then there's somebody who's waiting to actually greet each person in a really friendly way, maybe give them a name tag if they need one and sign this.
Hi, I'm so glad you're here. Oh, let me show you around.
Thank you. Thank you. It's such a lovely place here, your camp.
Oh, please, please, make yourself at home.
Yes, certainly we will. You know, and this is probably a guy or a gal who's wearing a complete uniform, possibly with a bulletproof vest, a lot of equipment hanging all over them. Some of them can barely sit down with all this gear on them. I'm not even making that up.
They're probably not used to being smiled at and welcomed. When you give them a nice, big, friendly welcome like that, it makes them feel good, and they're not used to that when they're on duty.
That is so true. Sad, but true. We want to make that welcome feel really warm, and we do it by bringing them into the actual director's home.
Good idea.
We do it inside the director's home to make it more personal. They feel like they're coming into somebody's house, and they're having a nice lunch. It's way better. These folks, you know, they all work in government offices, and you know, you can imagine what that's like. It's really a welcome relief to come into a friendly, happy summer camp. During the actual event, you want to put your biggest focus on the personal and the social.
Getting to know each other.
Yeah, so you're going to go around mm-hmm. the table, give everybody a chance to introduce themselves, welcome them to the lunch. You're going to probably have 20 or 30 people there putting together your emergency responders, your neighbors, and your own leadership staff. After lunch, we try to engage everybody in the conversation. We don't force the agenda. We let each person who's there raise whatever issues on their mind. We just go around the table.
So this is one of the methods. So and the method is you greet them, you serve them lunch, and then you start the conversation after lunch.
That's right.
Is this a group conversation or a one-on-one?
This is a group conversation.
Okay.
They've had time before, and they'll have time after the meal to kibitz mm-hmm. around one-on-one. During this, everybody's listening to each other. Mm. The camp director should facilitate the conversation, ask one by one anybody who wants to raise their hand and throw out an issue. And this is where you learn what's on people's minds. Yeah, some summers it could be fire. Some summers it could be drought. It could be a variety of issues, and we want everybody to feel heard.
Yes, oh, that feels good.
You've had this great meeting. Everybody's bellies are full. The kitchen staff is happy because they got to cook some great food for your guests, so they participated. Everybody at camp feels terrific about this. So now we just forget about it and wait for them to show up when there's a disaster. What comes next?
Well, everybody gets a personal thank you for having come. Maybe have just a moment or two with one of the camp directors, just a personal moment. And then after they leave, the same day, they're going to get a thank you email from us, CCing their supervising officer. Thank you so much for taking the time to come to Camp Tawanga today. We really appreciate your time and your participation, and we're all looking forward to a safe and successful summer together.
It's always a great idea to take a lot of pictures of these things, and then when you do your follow-up, send a copy of the picture. You can send it in the email, a digital photo of them on campus. It's something that they'll keep.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It is a great idea. And in addition, we want to make sure that our photographer takes lots of pictures that show our camp director standing next to some big guy with a gun.
People are going to feel safe with that one.
They do.
Yeah,
they do.
I get it.
And, you know, some folks ask us, should parents know that we're doing a lot of work in emergency preparedness? Will that frighten them?
No, I think they would feel more comforted.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
This has been a really informative program. So net it out for us. What are the takeaways? I haven't been taking notes, but I'm going to go back and listen to this. What are the key things that I need to remember coming out of this show?
Number one, safety is everybody's business. Number two, when you do a program, own it out first. And number three, be the convener. A lot of people are going to listen to this podcast, and they're all going to think, hey, I want everybody to come into my camp, because the police and the fire department, they're more likely to come out when there's a group of camps that they're meeting with and not just you. So in a way, you're kind of using your neighbors a little bit to help draw out the law enforcement officers. But what the heck?
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win, and you're important. You want to be the first. So I want everybody out there, this is a bit of a group challenge. You be the first to convene your neighbors and the emergency responders and have that great barbecue lunch at camp.
Ken, if anybody has a question for you, how do they reach you?
Send it to ken@tawonga.org. That's T-A-W-O-N like in Nancy, G like in girl, A.org.
Tawonga.org. ken@tawonga.org. And that's where they can get a copy of the OHM form that you referred to earlier.
Well, we really appreciate this chance to talk with you, Robin and Steve, about emergency preparedness and getting your camp ready.
Looking forward to talking about this again.
And we'd like to thank our friends at the Foundation for Jewish Camp for sponsoring us, and hope you all join us soon. And remember, it's going to be a great, safe, and successful summer, and everything's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be all right.